This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We'll begin from ayah 232. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. And when you have divorced women, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ, and they have fulfilled their term. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. This طلاق refers to the revocable divorce, the first divorce or the second divorce. When you have divorced the women, and then فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ, and they have reached their ajal. What does it mean by reaching the ajal over here? It means that their iddah is over. Previously, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ meant that their iddah is about to be over. It is near its completion. Over here, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ means that their iddah is completely over. It's done. And what does it mean when their iddah is over and there was no rujur? The man and woman are separated. The woman goes to her parents or she goes away and they no longer live with each other. There is no longer any relationship between the two. But because it is the first divorce or the second divorce, there is a possibility of the two getting back together. How? Through nikah. But if it was a third divorce, what did that mean? They cannot get back together until and unless the woman marries another man by chance, gets divorced, or he dies by chance, and then she marries the previous husband. But over here, it's the first or the second divorce, and their iddah is over, the man and woman are separated. So now, the command is to the awliya, the guardians of the women. That فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ. You should not stop them. You should not hinder them. تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ is from the root letters عَيْن ضَاد لَام عَضُل. And عَضُل is to prevent harshly. It is to prevent harshly. To stop someone from doing something very harshly, very forcefully. Why? For one's own personal benefit. So for example, a person does not let his business partner sell the business or have business with another. Why? Because of his own personal benefit. From the same root is the word mu'dil. And mu'dil is used for a hen, for a chicken that cannot lay eggs. It is prevented from doing so. So لا تعضلوهن, do not stop them, do not hinder them, do not prevent them. Who does هن refer to? The women who have been divorced. So do not stop them from what? أن ينكحن أزواجهن, that they marry their husbands. What does it mean by this? That they marry their former husbands. Many times we see that a man and woman who were previously divorced, after some time they realize that the divorce was a mistake and they wish to get back together. And if they resolve to get back together, who is it that comes in between? Their family. And especially the family of the woman. So over here, the address is to the awliya of the women, that once they have been divorced and their iddah is over, but they wish to get married to their former husbands, then do not stop them from doing so. Do not stop them from doing so. Because it is permissible for them to get back together. Because it's only the first or the second divorce. It's not the final one. So you can't stop them. لا تعضلوهن أن ينكحن أزواجهن. We see that Ma'qil ibn Yasar, he gave his sister in marriage to a Muslim man during the time of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she remained with him for a while and he divorced her once. What did he do? He divorced her once and did not take her back until her iddah was over. The iddah was finished. So what happened then? She went back home. And then after some time, they wanted to get back together. They wanted to get back with each other. And so he came to ask her for marriage. He came with a proposal for her. But Ma'qil, he said to him that, O ungrateful one, I honored you and married my sister to you, but you divorced her. By Allah, she will never be returned to you. So, many times what happens, the ego of the family, it comes in the middle. It comes in between. So similarly, Ma'qil did not give his sister in marriage to that man, despite the fact that both of them wanted to get back together. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this, that فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ. When Ma'qil heard this ayah, he said, I hear and obey, O my Lord. He then summoned the man and he said, I will honor you and let you remarry my sister. So what did he do? He called him and he remarried his sister to him. And it is also said, that Ma'qil also said that I will pay the expiation for breaking my vow. Because he said, by Allah, I will not marry her to you. So the ayah was revealed specifically with regards to this issue. But we can see that this is relevant to many other people as well. Not just Ma'qil radiallahu anhu, but many other people. That sometimes the girl is divorced, she goes back home, and the parents, they don't send their daughter back to the same man. Sometimes they go to the extent of saying, we will kill you, but we will not send you back. We will kill ourselves, but we will not send you back. Because for them, sending your own daughter back to her previous husband is an insult. What does Allah say? لَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ. Do not stop them. And notice the word that has been used for stopping. Do not prevent them harshly. Do not stop them for your own personal benefit. For your own personal benefit. Do not stop them from remarrying. Especially, إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. When they have mutually agreed between themselves in the approved way. تَرَاضَوْا, from the root letters, رَاضَادِيَا, رَضِيَا. What does it mean? To be happy, to be pleased, to agree with something. So when both of them, the man and the woman who intend to marry, who were married before but then were divorced, if they mutually agree in a matter that is approved, what does it mean by this? That they agree on an acceptable basis, that they will remain in the correct way, in an appropriate way, they will live together in an appropriate way afterwards. So basically we see that there is always a reason for divorce. There's always a reason for divorce. Now after the divorce, if the man and woman want to get back together and they decide, okay, this was the problem, we have a solution to this problem. So when they have a solution, let them get married. Let them marry. Don't stop them from marrying. إِذَا تَرَضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So here we learn that a woman has been given a right in the matter of her nikah. That if she wishes to marry someone, don't stop her. As long as there is ma'ruf, she can choose who she wants to get married to. Her family cannot force her. And we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that لا تنكح الأيم حتى تستأمر. A matron, meaning a woman who was previously married, a woman who is grown up, should not be given in marriage except after consulting her, after taking her permission. So a woman who is elderly, a woman who was previously married and divorced or is now a widow, whatever, she should not be given in marriage except by her permission, except by consulting her. And a virgin should not be given in marriage except after her permission. Even a young girl who is being married for the first time, even she should not be married except with her permission. Now, we know that in that society, they wouldn't say out openly, I want to marry this person. Sometimes, some women would also do that, but other women wouldn't do that. So the people asked the Prophet ﷺ, that, O Allah's Messenger, how can we know her permission? Like a girl who never speaks, a girl who is quiet, who is so shy, how can we take her permission? He said, her silence indicates her permission. Her silence is her approval. Which is why we see that every time there is a nikah that is being performed, what happens? The wali of the girl comes to her to take her permission, to get her signatures. So we see over here that a woman has a right in her marriage. She has a right to decide. If she wishes to get married to her previous husband, to her former husband, then she should be allowed to do so. she should not be prevented from marrying her previous husband. This ayah has been understood in another way as well. That if you look at the beginning of the ayah, that when you divorce the women, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, when you have divorced the women, the address over here is to the former husbands. Who is this addressed to? The former husbands, the ex-husband. That when you have divorced her, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, and her iddah is also over, you didn't do rujur to her, and now she's free. Then, she is free to marry whoever she wants. You have no say in her life anymore. If she decides to marry a particular person, the ex-husband cannot come in the middle and say that, no, you were my wife and now you cannot marry this other person. No. So when you have divorced a woman and she has reached her iddah is over, then لا تعضلوهن أن ينكحن أزواجهن. Don't stop them from marrying any other person whom they want to marry, because now she's free. إِذَا تَرَضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, when they have agreed with one another in a manner that is appropriate. Then Allah says, ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ, that. What does ذَلِكَ refer to? This command. Which command? That لَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ, or that إِذَا تَرَضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. This, who is going to benefit from this command? Or who is being instructed over here? يُعَظُ بِهِ. يُعَظُ is from وَعَظُ, وَوْ عَيْنْ لَا, and the word مَوْعِظَ is from the same root. What is مَوْعِظَ? An advice, an instruction. So who is going to be instructed? Who is going to benefit from this? مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, the one who believes in Allah and the last day among you. Only such a person will observe this command of Allah. Which command of Allah? Not stopping the women from remarrying their ex-husbands. Because a person who truly believes in Allah in the last day, his ego doesn't come in the middle. His ego doesn't stop him from doing that which is right. So only the one who believes in Allah in the last day will observe this command. Also we see that إِذَا تَرَضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, when they agree with one another in a manner that is appropriate, this has been understood as that when they agree in an appropriate manner and when they don't agree secretly. Because sometimes despite the divorce, despite the termination of that relationship, still the man and woman are in contact. Still sometimes they speak to one another. The parents don't want them to, but they continue to speak to one another. So over here Allah says ma'roof, it should be appropriate way of mutually agreeing with one another. And only the one who fears Allah, only the one who fears Allah will make sure that he follows this command of Allah. ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ, that is purer for you, that is better for you, وَأَطْهَرُ, and it is also cleaner for you. The word أَزْكَى and أَطْهَرُ, both are used for purity, for cleanliness, isn't it so? But there is a slight difference in the meaning. أَزْكَى is from تَزْكِيَة, and what does تَزْكِيَة mean? Cleanliness, to clean something. And it also means growth, to nurture something. Which is why the process of tazkiyah, the process of purification, includes takhliyah, to cleanse, meaning to get rid of the bad, to get rid of the filth, and tahliyah, to put that which is good, to adorn with that which is good, which is done with growth. So there is a meaning of growth as well as cleanliness in this. And the word tazkiyah has more to do with the matters of the nafs. It is with regard to the purification of the soul. It is with regards to spiritual ailments, with regards to weaknesses, akhlaq. So, ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ, what does it mean by this? It is much better for you. It is much better for you. This option of joining the two together who were previously married, letting them get married, this is purer, this is better. It is better than keeping them separated. Because if you keep them separated, what's going to happen? They're going to continue to speak to one another, or they're going to continue to meet each other. They're going to keep contact, which might lead to haram. So if you get them married, it is much purer. It is much better. And sometimes it's the ego of the person that comes in the middle, right? For example, the story that I mentioned to you of Ma'qil, what was it? He said that, I gave you honor by marrying my sister to you, and you were ungrateful, you divorced her. I will not give her back to you. So sometimes it's the ego that comes in the middle. So when a person suppresses his ego, that purifies him. So this is azkanakum. When you crush your ego, it is better for you. It is better for you spiritually. وَأَطْهَرْ, and it's also cleaner. أَطْهَرْ is from tahara. And what does tahara mean? Cleanliness. And when compared to tazkiyah, tahara refers to physical cleanliness, physical purification. Just as we read earlier, حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ. Over there, the word tahara was used, but it referred to physical purification. So, what does it mean by atahar over here? Atahar over here is adding to the intensity or the shiddah of the purity that is involved, of the cleanliness that is involved. That it's better for you, it's cleaner for you, it's very clean for you. This is the best option for you. And others have said that azka means it is good for you, it is better for you because it's from growth. And atahar refers to that it's cleaner for you. Because if you join the two together, if you get them married together, then they will not commit that which is haram. And suppose a man or a wali, he does not let his daughter get married to her previous husband, and instead he marries her to another man. What is purer for the woman? Going back to the same husband, going back to another man? Going back to the same husband. It's purer for her, it's better for her. So ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you do not know. Allah knows what? What is in your interest? What is in your favor? And you do not know any of this. Therefore, what should you do? Follow the commands of Allah. Many times, the commands of Allah may not make sense to us. Many times, it may happen. But a person should not say in this situation, it doesn't make sense, it's completely illogical. This is against my intellect. It doesn't make any sense to me. No. A person should tell himself, Allah knows and I do not know. Allah knows better. Allah knows what is best for me. Therefore, I should listen to His command. I should accept His command. Now, the following ayah is about breastfeeding the children. Many times it happens that when a couple gets divorced, when a man and woman get divorced, who is it who suffers? Children. Especially if they're very young. Especially if they're still infants. The woman wants to keep the child. The man says that no, I should have the child. So child custody is the next big issue. So over here, breastfeeding has been mentioned as to who should breastfeed, for how long. And it has been stated very clearly that the man and woman should not use the child to blackmail each other, to harm each other. The child should be given his haqq. And just because of the difference between the man and woman, the child should not be adversely affected. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ, and the mothers. Walidat is the plural of walida. And walida is from the root letters waw lam dal. As you know, walada, it means to give birth. Walida is the woman who gives birth. Therefore, mother. Walidat over here refers to either divorced women, because the context is of mutallaqat. The context is of talaq. So walidat over here refers to divorced women who are also mothers, who have also just recently given birth, or who after the divorce have given birth. So who does walidat refer to? Divorced walidat. Secondly, it has been said that walidat over here does not just refer to divorced women, but this is general. That any woman who is married and who has a baby, who is a mother, this is the ruling concerning her. What is the ruling? That yurdi'na, they should nurse. Yurdi'na, from the root letters ra, dad, ayn, from the word rada'a, which is to breastfeed, to suckle. So they should nurse. Who should they nurse? Awladahunna, their children. Awlad is a plural of walad, and the word walad is used for any child, male or female. So it's not that the boy only should be nursed or the girl only should be nursed. No. All babies, boys or girls, male or female, should be nursed. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ The women, the mothers, are going to nurse their children. For how long? حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ Two complete years. حَوْلَيْن is a dual of حَوْل, and حَوْل is used for year. كَامِلَيْن, two complete ones. What does it mean by this? Over here, يُرْضِعْنَ is a command that the mother must or should breastfeed her child for how long? 2 years. But this command is of permission, meaning it is allowed for a woman to breastfeed her child for 2 years. Because it's possible that a woman is unable to breastfeed her child because of some sickness, because of some disease, because of the inability to breastfeed. So, yurdirna over here is a command of permissibility. It is a command of permission that a woman may do so. A mother may do so. But what is the maximum length? What is the maximum duration of breastfeeding a child? 2 complete years. Not more than that. So a woman can only breastfeed her child for 2 years. Not 2 years and 1 day. Not 2 years and 1 week. Not 2.5 years. Maximum is 2 years. And remember that these 2 years refers to lunar years. It refers to which years? Lunar years. So according to the birth in the lunar calendar, the woman should calculate the 2 years, and after the completion of 2 years, she should stop breastfeeding the child. لِمَن for the one who أَرَادَ he intended, he wanted أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ that he should complete the suckling period. So the ayah clarifies that anyone who wishes to complete the nursing period, what is the complete nursing period? 2 years, not more than that. So just as there are certain regulations concerning talaq, similarly, there are certain regulations concerning breastfeeding. A woman may breastfeed her child for 1 month, she may breastfeed her child for 2 days, for 1 year, for 1.5 years, but the maximum that she can go is 2 years and not more than that. But what if a woman is unable to breastfeed her child? What if a woman does not wish to? Or what if the circumstances don't allow? For example, the man and woman were living together. The woman had a baby, but the man and woman got divorced. Now the woman does not have any family in that same city, in that same town, perhaps in the same country. Nor does she get the custody of the child. So she has to leave. Where is the child going to be? With the father. So is she going to be sinful for not feeding the child? No. Similarly, if a woman is ill, she is unable to breastfeed the child, or she does not wish to because of whatever reason, is she sinful? No, she is not sinful. Obviously, there is a lot of reward for breastfeeding the child because a woman is constantly striving. It's a part of her motherhood. But if she does not breastfeed the child, then she's not being sinful. Remember that. Because yurdi'na, this is a command of permission. There is great reward. There is also a lot of benefit. But if, because of some genuine reason, a woman is not able to, then there is no harm. But while the woman is breastfeeding, who is going to look after her? Who is going to provide for her? وَعَلَى and upon, meaning it is the responsibility of who? الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ, the father. الْمَوْلُودِ is also from the root letters waw lam dal, walada, which is to give birth. And mawlud is the one who is given birth to. Who is mawlud? The one who is given birth to, meaning the child. Al mawlud lahu, together, is a technical term that is used for the father, the biological father. Because the father himself cannot give birth to his child. Somebody else has to give birth to his child. And who is that? The mother. So mawlud lahu, the one who was given birth to for his sake. So in other words, the biological father. And why is this term used to refer to the father? Because he is the one who is responsible for the child, in the sense that the child gets the name, gets his lineage from the father and not the mother. And it's the father who is supposed to provide for the child as well. So mawlud lahu, it is to show that the father is responsible for the child, lineage wise, name wise, and also with regards to other affairs. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ, so it is the responsibility of the biological father, what رِزْقُهُنَّ, their provision. Whose provision? The provision of the suckling mothers, the provision of the breastfeeding mothers. When women are breastfeeding, sometimes they get hungry very quickly, especially in initial stages, because the child is nursing every 2 hours, sometimes every 1 hour, sometimes every 3 hours. So because of that, the woman needs food, you know, most of the time. And sometimes because of her situation, she might need some special food as well. So who is responsible for providing that food to the woman? The father, the biological father, even if he has divorced that woman. What else is he supposed to provide to the woman? وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ, and also their clothing. Kiswa is from the root letters kaf, seen well. The word kiswa is used for clothing, and libas is also used for clothing. But there is a difference between the two. Libas is a garment that a person puts on himself, that a person wears himself. And kiswa is a clothing that a person gives to another. Which is why you may have heard of kiswa of the Kaaba. What is it? The cover of the Kaaba. Right? The black cloth that shrouds the Kaaba, that covers the Kaaba. So, the man is responsible for providing the food to the mother when she is breastfeeding, and he is also responsible to provide her with clothes while she is breastfeeding. Why is clothing mentioned? Why is clothing mentioned in particular? Because we see that children, when they're breastfeeding, sometimes they throw up a lot of milk, which dirties the clothes of the mother. So sometimes she needs a lot of clothes. So, وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ, and how is he to provide them? بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a manner that is appropriate. Meaning in a manner that is customary, that is acceptable. Whatever the tradition is, whatever is acceptable, whatever the need is, whatever is the ability of the father. لَا تُكَلَّفُ نَفْسٌ, no person will be burdened, إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, except with its capacity. تُكَلَّفُ is from the root letters كَافْ لَامْفَا. The word تَكْلِيف is from the same root letters. تَكْلِيف is to charge someone with a responsibility. It is to entrust, to burden someone with a responsibility. So no person is charged with more than what he can bear. إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And the word wusa is from waw sin ain, and wusa is what a person can bear, what a person can tolerate in normal circumstances, what he can do with ease in normal circumstances. For example, it is possible for a person to clean the house or to cook food in 2-3 hours normally, without putting in too much effort, without speeding up too much. That is within a person's capacity. But if that same person is told, no, cook in 15 minutes, or no, clean in 1 hour, okay, they might be able to, but with a lot of difficulty, isn't it? Similarly, you may be able to memorize your lesson, read through your lesson 7 times a day, but if you're told no, 20 times a day, okay, it would be possible for you, but with a lot of difficulty, then the only thing you would do is just memorize your lesson. Nothing else besides that. So wusa is the ability of a person. What a person can do in normal circumstances, what a person can bear, what a person can tolerate with ease, without exerting any extra effort. So no person is burdened with what he cannot do, with what he cannot tolerate. So over here, what is being said is that if the man is to provide for the woman's food, for the woman's clothing, then he is to provide for the food and clothing according to his means. According to his means. It's not that the woman says, no, I want 20 pairs of clothes, whereas the man can only afford 10. So whatever the man can afford, that is what he will be charged with. But he should consider ma'ruf. If he can afford, he should give. And if he cannot, then again he should give that which is within his capacity. We learn in Surah Al-Talaq, Ayah 7, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. Let a man of wealth spend from his wealth, and he whose provision is restricted, let him spend from what Allah has given him. Allah does not charge a soul except according to what he has given it. So we see over here that even after the divorce, a woman may breastfeed the child. Who is going to support her despite the divorce? The father of the child. Why? Because she is nursing his child. Then Allah says, لَا تُضَارَّ وَالِدَةٌ بِوَلَدِهَا. No mother is going to be harmed because of her child. تُضَارَّ, again, ضِرَار, same root, ضَاد, رَا. So no mother is going to be harmed because of her child, through her child. How? For example, a woman is forced to breastfeed the child and she is not given any rizq or any kiswa. The father does not give any provision to her at all. And because he knows that the mother loves the child, she'll feed the child anyway. So over here it is being clearly stated that no mother is going to be harmed through her child, because of her child. Similarly, sometimes the woman wants to breastfeed the child, but what does the father do because of the divorce? He says, no, you're not going to breastfeed her. You're not going to see the child at all. So no woman should be harmed through her child, because of her child. And similarly, وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ لَهُ بِوَلَدِهِ. Similarly, the father also should not be harmed through the child. Because many times when it comes to divorce, people use the child to harm the other. وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. And similar is the responsibility upon who? Upon the warith, upon the heir. Who is the warith? The one who inherits from the other. Over here, the warith refers to the father's heir. So just imagine, a man and woman were married, they had a child. The child is still a baby, still an infant. The mother is breastfeeding the child, or the child is of breastfeeding age. Now, the father dies. The man dies. What's going to happen? The inheritance is going to be distributed. Now, the heirs, they are supposed to make sure that the woman gets her share and the child also gets her share. The heirs are responsible for providing for the woman's food, for the woman's clothing, while she is breastfeeding the child. The heirs cannot expect that the woman is going to spend out of her own share on the child. No. The woman is going to be given her share, and the child is going to be given his share. And the heirs are responsible for this. This is their duty. وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. So ذَلِكَ refers to the duty of the father, which is to provide sustenance and clothing to the mother while she is breastfeeding. Others have said that ذَلِكَ over here refers to the prohibition of ضِرَار, the prohibition of harming the mother through her child. Then okay, let's say the man died, but now the heirs are coming in the middle, and what are they doing? They won't let the mother breastfeed the child, and they say, give the child to us. Give the child to us. And the mother is not allowed to breastfeed. And many times we see that the man and woman, despite their divorce, they have agreed upon something. But it's the rest of the family that comes in the middle, that interferes. And it's the children who suffer them. For example, I know of a family in which what happened was that the man and woman, they got divorced. The woman was pregnant at that time. And the parents of the girl said, the parents of the woman said to the boy's family that if you want this child, then you should come to the hospital at the time of delivery and you take the child right away. If you don't, we're going to give the child to an orphanage. We're going to give the child to the orphanage. The woman, the mother, was not even allowed to see her child, despite the fact that she wanted the child, despite the fact that she wanted to breastfeed the child. She wanted to keep her child, but the parents would not allow. So this command is not just to the father and the mother, but it's to the rest of the family as well. That don't harm the mother, don't harm the father through the child. Similarly, sometimes the children are in the custody of the mother, and the mother's parents don't allow the grandchildren to go see their father. Sometimes it happens. So وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. Similar responsibility is upon the heirs. فَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِصَالًا. Then if the two wanted weaning. Who two wanted? The two over here refers to the mother and the father, whether they are divorced or not. Both of them want to wean the child. From what? عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا. Out of mutual agreement. فِصَالًا is from the root letters فَصَالًا. And فَصَل is to separate. And فِصَال is weaning, which is when a child is taken off of breastfeeding. As long as a child is breastfeeding, he is with the mother. The mother cannot leave him for 2 hours, she cannot leave him for 3 hours, she cannot leave him for 5 hours, because she is breastfeeding him. But when she weans the child, then the child and mother are separated for longer time, for longer periods of time. So if both of them, meaning the mother and father, wish to wean the child, and this decision is عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا, it is a mutual decision. Both of them agree. It's not just the decision of the mother, it's not just the decision of the father. You see, how much the parents have to be on the same page. The husband and wife, they have to be at the same page. That even when it comes to breastfeeding the child or not breastfeeding the child, it should be a mutual decision. It should not be a decision made by one person and forced upon the other. No. Both should decide. Both should agree. عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا. وَتَشَاوُرٍ. And also mutual consultation. تَشَاوُر is from شِين وَوْرَى. تَشَاوُر is to consult one another, to discuss about an issue, to take counsel. So we see that shura should also be a major part of family life, especially between a husband and wife. So if they both decide that they should wean the child, why? For example, the husband cannot afford to give the food or give the kiswa to the woman. Or because of divorce, the mother and father, the husband and wife, they are separated. And now the child cannot go with the mother, the example that I gave you before. So in this case, both of them decide, both of them resolve, that they are not going to breastfeed the child anymore. Or sometimes, it is because of some other problem, because of some other issue. The man and woman are fine, they are married. There is no problem in their relationship. But let's say, the woman has to work because of some reason. The woman has to study. She's not able to breastfeed the child. She's not able to take the child. So both the man and woman decide that they're going to wean the child. They're not going to breastfeed the child anymore. Are they sinful for that? No. فَلَا جِنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Then there is no sin upon them too, as long as it is in the benefit of the child and the mother. So if nursing the child is not feasible, then there is no sin. But we see that consultation, mutual decision, is necessary. Many times women make up this decision themselves, and without telling the husbands, they wean the child before 2 years. The husband wants the child to be fed, but the woman says no, and she doesn't tell him. So we see that mutual consultation is very important. And if a man interferes in this matter, if he finds out if the woman is still breastfeeding, then he is not interfering in the woman's personal issue. No, this is his issue. He's not interfering because it is his child. And he has a right to know what he is being fed, who is feeding him. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ. And if you all wish, أَنْ تَسْتَرْضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ, that you seek foster suckling for your children. تَسْتَرْضِعُوا, see the scene in ta, that gives the meaning of seeking. That you seek رَضَعَ, you want someone else to feed your child. You want your child to be nursed by a substitute, someone other than the woman. So for example, the aunt of the child. Or for example, another wet nurse. Or for example, the bottle. If you wish that somebody else, other than the mother, should feed your child, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, then there is no sin upon you, meaning you may do so. A child can be nursed by another, by a wet nurse. As long as إِذَا سَلَّمْتُمْ مَا آتَيْتُمْ, as long as you have submitted what you gave بالمعروف in the manner that is approved. What does it mean by سَلَّمْتُمْ? سَلَّمْتُمْ is from سين لام ميم, and as you know, Islam means submission. What does it mean? To submit your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over here, taslim means that you've handed over. You've completely given. You have submitted. You have paid. What have you submitted? What have you gave? مَا آتَيْتُمْ, that which you intended to give. To who? To the wet nurse. To the suckling mother. Previously we learned that the Arabs, they would send their children to the villages, to the desert, so that they would be nursed over there. The mothers would not nurse their own children, but the children would be sent to the desert, where they would live with the desert dwellers, and they would feed them, breastfeed them, and also feed them otherwise. And this was so that the children are exposed to the rich Arabic language, and they get the best nutrition as well. So, when a foster mother is hired to feed your child, then you have to pay her. You have to give her. It's possible that the foster mother says, no, I don't wish to take any money. That's fine. But if she demands some money, some recompense, some return, then you must give that. And how should you give that? Bil ma'roof, in the manner that is approved. Ma'roof over here refers to the amount should be acceptable. I mean, it shouldn't be just $2 for a year. Similarly, ma'roof refers to the manner in which a person gives. What does it mean by the manner? That it should be given out of kindness, in a good way, without delaying, without postponing. Because who will you harm then? Your own child. Similarly, when a person is paying, he should pay in a manner that is appropriate. He shouldn't pay the entire amount in change. So the person is lugging 2,000 coins to the bank. So in a way that is ma'roof. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah, even with regards to this matter. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, and know that Allah is seeing of everything you do. If we remember this, that Allah is seeing of everything that I do, when I'm dealing with my spouse, when I'm dealing with my child, when I'm dealing with my in-laws, when I'm dealing with any other person, any person out there, if we remember this rule, that Allah sees my intentions, Allah sees my actions, He knows about what I say, only then can we develop fear of Allah, and only then can we do that which Allah approves of. Only then can we give the haqq of the other. Only then can we look beyond ourselves and not be so selfish. Look at the need of the other. Look at the right of the other and fulfill their right. Fulfill their need. Look beyond ourselves. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُم بِالْمَعْرُوفِ ذَلِكَ يُوعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده وعلى الوارث مثل ذلك فإن أرادا فصالا عن تراض منهما وتشاور فلا جناح عليهما وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَسْتَرْضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا سَلَّمْتُم مَّا آتَيْتُم بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.